I want to show you another verse about how it was with Jesus in Isaiah chapter 11. We all know the very well-known verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." From Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." But here it tells us how the fear of the Lord operates. Fear of the Lord in our day is to come through the Holy Spirit. There are many, you know, in the book of Revelation, you read about the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Some translations it says seven spirits. There are no seven spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. But there are seven characteristics in that Spirit. And the only place in Scripture where I read those seven characteristics are in Isaiah 11, where it says about the Spirit of God resting on Jesus. Verse 2. Number 1, he's called the Spirit of the Lord, of God Himself. Number 2, Spirit of Wisdom. Number 3, Isaiah 11, verse 2. Number 3, Spirit of Understanding. Number 4, Spirit of Counsel. Number 5, Spirit of Strength. Number 6, the Spirit of Knowledge. And number 7, the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. And then, out of all those seven, one is taken up, the fear of the Lord. It says about Jesus, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God will fill him and give him a tremendous delight in reverencing his Father. I pray you'll have a delight in reverencing your Father. And what will be the result of that? He will never judge anyone or any event by what his eyes see. Nor will he make a decision by what his ears hear. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, "All your life you have lived by the principle of Adam, which is make decisions by what your eyes have seen and read, or your ears have heard. Form opinions by what your eyes have seen or read, or your ears have heard." That's how all humanity forms opinions and lives. And the Lord said to me in my heart, "You have to change that now. The fear of the Lord must fill you so that you do not judge anymore by what you see and what you read, or even by what you hear. You hear, you see, but then you process it before the Lord." I'm not saying we shut our eyes and shut our ears, but we don't go merely by that. We process it and with righteousness, verse 4, we will judge. That means we say, "Lord, all that I see may be deceiving me. All that I hear may be deceiving me." And I think God has given us a daily proof of that by the sun apparently moving in the sky, but not moving at all, to teach us every day from morning till night, your eyes are deceiving you. You can't go by what your eyes see. There are sounds on this earth that we cannot hear. Do you know there's a thing called a dog whistle, which has got such a high frequency that we say, "I never heard anything," but the dog heard it immediately. Our ears don't hear everything. As we get older, we even stop hearing something that young people can hear. That's what I found. Our ears deceive us. Our eyes deceive us. Our feeling. Do you know that right now, underneath our feet, this hall is moving at about 800 kilometers or 800 miles or more than 1,000 kilometers per hour underneath our feet? It's true. What a speed. It's happening right now under our feet. The circumference of the earth and the equator is 40,000 kilometers. And in 24 hours, it goes around. That means it's 1,500 kilometers per hour at the equator. We're a little further north, so it's a little slower there. But you feel it? Do you feel something at 1,000 kilometers per hour under your feet right now? This hall is moving at 1,000 kilometers an hour. I don't feel a thing. These are little ways in which the Lord is telling you, don't think you're so smart and that your senses tell you the truth. Your senses fool you completely. Your eyes and your ears and even what you think you feel. Humble yourself and let the Holy Spirit tell you what is right. It's the same thing when you come to scriptures. There are people who read the same Bible that I read and they get a completely different understanding. Because these things are hidden from the clever and the intelligent and revealed to those who have the humility of babes. Who will understand the Bible the best in this hall? I don't know, but whoever is the humblest person will understand it better than anybody else. I'll tell you that. Not the cleverest. Not even the one who's read it the most. But whoever is humblest, because God reveals the scripture to those who have the humility of a babe. You don't have to be 30, 40 years a believer. You're born again yesterday. Seek to have the humility of a babe and you'll understand scripture better than everybody else sitting here. So that's what the fear of the Lord does. It makes me careful when I see something or I hear something or I read something. I say, hey, I want to let the Lord process that. And it won't happen immediately. You know, habits that we have formed for years, it's very difficult to get out of that rut. You know, when your car wheel is in a rut, you rev up the engine, it's so difficult to get out of that rut. And we are in a rut of always making decisions by what we read, what we see, what we hear. To get out of that rut is a job. I'll tell you honestly, it's been a job for me, and sometimes I find I get into the rut again. So I'm not perfect yet, but boy, I've seen the way that I should not be in this rut. My question is, have you seen it? That you've got to get out of this rut of judging by what your eyes see and your ears hear. You will never become more and more like Jesus every day. Because if you live like that, because he did not do that. That's how he grew in wisdom. From a child he understood, I must not go by what my eyes see or my ears hear. I must not respond to other people the way they talk to me. No, that's not the divine way. I'm going to be different. If they get angry, I'll give a gentle answer which can turn away that anger. That's wisdom. The wisdom from above is peaceable. The wisdom from beneath is demonic and full of jealousy and selfishness and selfish ambition. That's what James says. That's why we need to seek for wisdom every day. Turn with me now to Genesis in chapter 1. You've heard me speak on this chapter before. Genesis chapter 1. I've often said this first chapter is in a nutshell the message of the whole Bible. The main message of the whole Bible. The earth was created perfect. Verse 1. The earth became, lost its shape, became dark, empty because of Lucifer's sin. Verse 2. Next thing, the Spirit of God, verse 2, began to move on this corrupt, spoilt earth and began to change it. Not in one second. God could have done that. Day by day. Just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, day by day, I'm being renewed into the image of Christ. It's pictured here in Genesis 1. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, Adam is becoming the likeness of God. That is the day when we'll become completely like Christ. That is Genesis chapter 1. That's the message of the whole Bible. And once that's over, then the seventh day, God rests for all eternity with these people who have become like Christ. That time, Adam and Eve. In the future day, those who have pursued that way now. That is, in a nutshell, is the message of the whole Bible.